Now, I'm a big fan of comic books, as many of you will know, and one of the things that is very common in comic books is if somebody dies, they don't stay dead for very long. In the 90s, it was very exciting when they announced that Superman was going to die. It rocked the world as people were shocked that Superman, the oldest and greatest superhero, was going to die. There were people crying as they bought the last comic book where he died. And then a short time later, after he'd been dead for, I think it was about a year, he came back to life to fight evil once more. It's getting so much so that if you name a comic book hero, there's usually one point when they've died and come back to life. Batman has died and come back to life. The Flash has died and come back to life. Green Lantern has died and come back to life. Wolverine has died and come back to life. Captain America has died and come back to life. And that's only the ones that I could mention off the top of my head. There's so much so that when you see a superhero die in a movie, or even any character in a movie these days, you're just immediately suspicious that they're going to stay that way because you know that they want to make a sequel down the line with that character and make another $1 billion like that movie made. So it's become fairly common for us to expect these characters to come back to life. And yet, for most of history, death has been permanent. If there is one thing that's permanent in this world, you would think that it was death. That's the one thing that ends other things. But now they have to keep a little glimmer of hope. So even if my favourite one is usually the villain, when the villain dies in the movie and then everyone's happy, they're like, yes, that's great, he's gone. And then right at the end, his hand twitches or something just to say he's going to come back and make things worse one day. But that doesn't really happen. Death is permanent. People don't come back from the dead, except this Sunday we celebrate the day when God's great King came back to life. The first time that someone came back to life, not some random hero, but God's great King having a real victory over death, the thing that has defeated most of mankind. He is the one who defeated it. So today we're going to look in the book of Matthew as he tells the story of this great king and how he had a victory over death. In the book of Matthew so far, we've seen the coming of King Jesus. When he came, he announced that the world was going to be turned upside down. Those who were humble and earnest and oppressed were going to have their situation turned around. Everywhere that Jesus went, we saw the curses of creation being reversed. Those who were sick were healed. Those who were unclean would touch Jesus, and instead of making Jesus unclean, Jesus made them clean. It was clear to a lot of people that Jesus was the King that God had sent to restore creation and rule it in peace and prosperity and union with God. The people were excited about this, particularly in Jerusalem when their current king was a puppet king installed by the Romans. He wasn't even really Jewish, but their oppressors had him there to keep them in check. Last week we saw Jesus enter the city as the king who would save them as people shouted, "Hosanna, save us now, son of David." But we found out that the real enemy was the Jewish leaders as they used God's name for their own power. And God was not going to stand for it. On Friday, we reflected on Jesus coming into his kingdom and doing the will of the Father and dying at the hands of those who wanted to rule themselves. Today, we'll reflect on the great victory that Jesus has won at the cross and what that means for God's King. All throughout Jesus' crucifixion, he was mocked and treated as though he were powerless. They mockingly said that if he were the Messiah, he could save himself from that situation. To them, Jesus looked like a fraud, and his death was going to prove it. They had no problem having the soldiers pretend to dress him up as a king and mock him. The sign above his head said, "The King of the Jews." And all that changed the moment of his death. When the ground shook, the rocks cracked, the tombs broke open, and the soldiers who had mocked him in a false coronation with a scarlet robe and a crown of thorns were forced to admit that surely he was the Son of God. All of the mockery turned out to be false, and the crowning ended up to be real. What looked like the death of another traitor to Rome was really the victory that would eventually topple Rome. To most, the death of Jesus should have been the end of the matter. Once he was dead, so too was his influence, and yet in his death it was revealed who he really is. The day after Jesus died, the chief priests got together and they said to each other that they remembered Jesus saying something about raising from the dead after 3 days. So they thought they should go put some guards on his tomb in case his disciples wanted to steal the body and claim that he had risen. So they put a seal on the stone so they would know if someone had tampered with it, and they posted a guard to make sure that no one could claim any funny business. Then after the Sabbath on Sunday, two women named Mary came to look at Jesus' tomb. Then there was a violent earthquake because an angel of God came down from heaven and rolled the stone away and sat on it. The guards were so afraid of this angel that they shook and fell down unconscious. The angel looked like lightning with pure white clothes. Jesus had said in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was being arrested that if he wanted to call on God, he would put at his disposal more than 12 legions of these angels. They would be there immediately. And now he is one angel, so powerful and magnificent. Jesus' death did not happen against God's will. Jesus was in control the whole time. He could have made it stop in an instant with one of these powerful and scary angels. And now this angel was standing before the women, looking all powerful and scary, and he says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." The women were a flood with emotions. They're excited and scared and joyful. They run to tell the disciples, and suddenly Jesus meets them and says, "Greetings." They run up to him, clasp his feet and worship him. And Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This moment would have validated everything that Jesus had been saying. He had been vindicated by this act. Now, throughout the book of Matthew, Matthew's been pointing out all the signs to show that Jesus is the Messiah, God's great King who will rule and restore the world to be the way that God had originally made it before sin and death cursed it. Now, in the Old Testament, there are a few places that predict the resurrection of everyone. In places like Daniel, it talks about everyone rising from the dead to face God, and then the righteous go to live forever, and the wicked go to live in shame and contempt. Isaiah talks about how God will swallow up death forever and wipe away the tears from all of the faces. We've been looking at Genesis this year, and one of the great problems that reoccurs in that book is that since the fall, since creation had been cursed by sin, death had entered the world, people were dying. But God promised all the way back then that one of his offspring, one of the offspring of Eve, will come and fix what has been broken. And if we were to follow who that person was throughout the Bible, we would know that it was going to be the Messiah. And now Jesus has come, entered Jerusalem as king. He has been crowned with thorns and mocked, and yet he is victorious over death. He has come back to life. For all of the peoples, for all of the suffering that he has experienced, for all of history, people have died under the curse of sin. A curse that affects us all. We all experience death and have experienced death. I miss my grandmother and my grandfather. They passed away when I was in primary school. I'm sad that they didn't get to see me grow up. I'm sad that I haven't been able to introduce them to my children, or they haven't been able to see my beautiful wife. Death affects everyone. I'm often devastated when I watch the news because I hear about what seems like death and destruction going on all over the place, over and over again. I am someone who always cries at funerals, even if I don't know the person. I try to be manly and hold myself together, but the loss that is caused by death, by the separation from us and the ones that we love, always seems to get me at some point. I know how the ancient people must have felt when they read the words of the prophets prophesying that God was going to raise the dead to everlasting life. The excitement that God was going to swallow up death once and for all and wipe every tear away from our eyes. And on a Sunday morning, more than 2,000 years ago, after seeing their king mocked, beaten, and tortured to death, these women came to the tomb to learn that death was not permanent. They learned that their king had been victorious. He was the king who put an end to death the way that we know it anyway, because Jesus was raised from the dead. We can have assurance that all will be raised to either everlasting life or shame and contempt. I know I will see my grandparents again, because he is risen. He is now the king that will bring ultimate peace and restore the world so there will no longer be sin and death. The world will no longer give ultimate success to the bullies or the people born in the right families, the people who like to oppress others. Oppression will cease, and those who act in kindness and love will be rewarded for it. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So whilst this is monumentally exciting news, it was not exciting news to those who were corrupted by their own power. When the ladies ran to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive, the guards went to tell the chief priests to tell them what had happened, and they gave the guards a large sum of money to tell the people that the disciples had come in the night and stolen him away. Matthew says that that story was widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Now, it's interesting that we still hear that explanation today. If you're having a conversation with someone who wants to discredit the resurrection, they usually say that they think the disciples stole the body and circulated the story that he was alive. Now, that doesn't usually account for the fact that the 12 disciples all died for that story. If it was a lie, I don't think they would have died for it. John was the exception who stayed on an island till he died of an old age, but that was not a fun way to go anyway. The fact that the story is still circulating shows us that even though Jesus was victorious and entered his kingdom, there are still those who will not accept it. There is the exciting truth right in front of them, and they still won't believe. Which reminds us of something important. Even though the king has entered his kingdom, it has not come in its fullness yet. The exciting truth that Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, that said that the world was going to turn upside down, has not yet happened. The other startling news that goes along with this is that we will experience opposition. The chief priests saw the dead body, they saw the empty tomb, they saw Jesus heal people, and instead of embracing God and repenting and becoming part of the kingdom, they opposed it. They paid off people to tell lies and obscure the truth. Now, on Friday night, I was preparing this, and a Jesus movie called The Son of God came on TV. It came from the Bible miniseries that came out in 2013 with lots of hype and, I think, a reasonable amount of success. I find it a very difficult series to watch because every line is delivered with such emphasis and gravity, and it looks like the actors are pained to make all of their lines last as long as possible so everyone knows that these words are coming from the Bible and they're so important and wonderful. So they talk longer than anyone, but it has reasonably high production values. It's just the style that was grating on me. I remember trying to watch it when it first came out, and they started with the Old Testament, and it seems every character was supposed to be like Charlton Heston in a Bible epic of old, and not treated as real people, but were all stoic and spoke very woodenly. As I was watching the Son of God movie, which is kind of their two-hour version of the Jesus part of the series, I was watching the Pharisees and the chief priests, and they all look like these cartoonish villains, all conniving and tapping their fingers together. And it seemed like just off screen they would go to cackle in the corner and laugh about how evil they were. But the reality is that rebellion against God in our lives runs deep into who we are as people. We all at many times of our day have little rebellions against God and the things that God wants. We like to choose what is good and evil for ourselves. We let our pride make us do things that try to push ourselves above those around us. We choose things in our hearts that we would never do. That shows that if we got the chance, we would probably do pretty terrible things. We see the good that should be done and we turn our backs on it. The enemies of God's kingdom are not these cartoonish villains who sit in big chairs and turn around patting cats, but real people with real motivations, real needs, and they have the ability to deceive themselves into doing evil that they think is good. And that is the world that we live in. But Jesus has victory over death. And that's an assurance that this will not always be the case. After the ladies saw Jesus at the tomb, the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain that Jesus had told them to. And when they saw him, they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. And he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now that, in the Great Commission, which is what's about to happen, that's usually the line I skip over, as it seems like a very normal thing for Jesus to say. But in Matthew, it's the very first thing that Jesus wants his disciples to know after his resurrection. Jesus came as a king into Jerusalem. They killed him to try and stop him. And what was really happening was a great victory where he defeated death and was installed as God's great king. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is now ruling the way that he was supposed to. He had an incredible victory. He was not just a sacrificial lamb, but a victorious king. The kingdom that he had been speaking about is now a possibility because he has all the authority now. The kingdom where those who serve are the ones who are doing the will of God. Where those who make themselves big by humbling themselves and lowering themselves. The kingdom where death will be defeated and God will wipe away the tears from the eyes has come. Then the next bit is the Great Commission, which we all know and love. But the commission is a response to the reality that Jesus is king, who has authority and victory and has brought his kingdom. Because of that, our response is to spread that kingdom as faithful servants. Jesus said, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We've seen the victory of Jesus. We know the glorious kingdom that he has for us. So now we go and tell people about it. We tell them the good news and help them make the decision to follow Jesus also. Our response to Jesus' victory is to tell others that they may believe and be part of the kingdom also. So we've seen today, after the sacrifice of Jesus on Good Friday, what they thought was Jesus' defeat was actually his great victory as king. Jesus defeated death and has given us the hope that we can have everlasting life if we follow him. However, not everyone believes, but a rebellion against God is in all of us. But God has given all authority to King Jesus, so our response is to bring the kingdom to the world. Our response is to tell others about God and our great King Jesus. So however you have experienced Jesus this weekend, it requires you to make a response. Either the story is false and Jesus was just a teacher who people made up stories about, or he was God's great king who defeated death and is restoring the world back to the peace that God intended. If you've never considered who Jesus is, then now is the time to consider it. Jesus means the defeat of death and rebellion against God, and he's bringing the world back to peace. If you have already made that choice, then we need to be reminded of our response to that. Jesus has risen to be a victorious king who defeated death, and the only reasonable response to such good news is to go and tell others. Help them be part of the kingdom too. As all of you know, I have had a very busy month. We have been trying to get the manse together, and yesterday was a very long day as we moved in. But during that process, we've been humbled and blessed by the hard work of many of you. There has been lots of love shown in our church over the last month. I've seen everyone caring for each other's needs, helping out where they can. I've seen people lowering themselves to the state of servants. And my family feels very loved, supported, and blessed. God's kingdom is amazing. Now, I know that it has not always been perfect, as we still continue in our rebellious ways here and there. But this kind of thing shows me an indication of what living in a way where Jesus is king is like, the way God wants the world to be, where people love and serve each other. It's good news that our King has come, and I'm excited that I will get to spend my life in God's kingdom with you all. God's kingdom is good news that we have to share with others. So when people asked you how you spent Easter, you can tell them that you celebrated a victorious king. If the conversation flows in that direction, you can tell them how we celebrated the defeat of death and the promise of peace. Jesus has won the victory, and that is amazing news that's worth sharing. He is risen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great victory that Jesus won on this Sunday many years ago. Thank you that you did not leave us to our own rebellion and sin and death, but you sent your Son to come and die so that we can live with you and live in peace and unity. I pray, Lord, as we go throughout our week, we'll keep King Jesus in our mind. We will remember his teachings and follow him. I pray, Lord, that we'll have opportunities to show others who he is and give them the exciting news. I pray all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.